The scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
Women are the ones leading on Easter. It's been said, I think Bill and I both credit it to Dr. Randall Lally, but he may not have been the first. It has been said that women were the last at the cross, the first at the tomb. True. The four Gospels don't exactly agree on which women or how many. They all say Mary Magdalene was there. Luke gives the most names, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others, he says. So at least five to make, if others is plural, maybe more. These are the same women that Luke had named earlier in his gospel as being disciples of Jesus who were traveling with them and who out of their resources were helping support Jesus and the 12. These were women who knew him, believed in him, were committed to him. They did not run away from his crucifixion. They watched it from afar. They saw him die. We can imagine what they must have been feeling. Fear, anger, grief, emptiness, despair, confusion. So much. And then they watched as Joseph of Arimathea came and took down his body. Joseph, we read, was a member of the Jewish council of leaders, but he had not agreed to the plan to kill Jesus. Luke says he was a good and righteous man, waiting expectantly for God's realm to come, the kingdom. So after Jesus was killed, Joseph took a great risk and went and asked Pilate's permission to take Jesus' body. And he took the body down off the cross, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb where no one had ever been buried. We can guess that it must have been a tomb Joseph had planned to use for his own family, maybe even for himself. So he chose to put Jesus' body there. The women followed and watched and saw where he put the body. And then they went back and worked preparing spices for a proper burial. It was all they could think to do. At least they could do that. Something to express their grief, something to show their love. But then it was Sabbath and they could do nothing until Sabbath ended, except rest and remember. But then at first light, they went to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away and there was no body there at all. Nothing, empty, They must have been so confused and uncertain and thinking, what do we do now? What's happened? And suddenly two men in dazzling white show up before them. Angels, we assume, although it doesn't say angels. The women were terrified. Have you noticed angels are terrifying? But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember what he said to you, that he must be handed over to sinners to be crucified, and then on the third day he would rise again?" And they remembered. Those strange words they had heard from Jesus that had made no sense at the time, suddenly they remembered and were filled with hope. And they ran to tell the 11 and all the rest. But, Luke says, these words seemed to them an idle tale. I love how the Gospels show us the doubt, the uncertainty, the skepticism. This must have been foolishness, an old wives' tale. How could these men believe what these women were saying? How would we believe it today? Of course not. And in that time and culture, women's words were not to be trusted. Women could not testify in court. Surely the men thought the women are just imagining things, caught up in their grief, wishful thinking. Some ancient versions don't even include verse 12, where Peter took them seriously enough to go and look at the empty tomb. The disciples could not believe them because they were sure he was dead. He was gone. It was over. Everything they had hoped for, all their trust in him, was ended. He was dead. They had spent the last 3 days taking it in. That's where he was, in that dead body. All they could see was the dead. But the angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for this Jesus you've known here in this dead body in a tomb? He is not here. He is alive." The Jesus they had known, that baby born to Mary, that carpenter rabbi from Nazareth, that teacher, that healer, had died. They all knew that. But that was not the end. That was the beginning of a whole new story, a whole new revelation. Jesus, the first century Jewish man, was a prophet, a wisdom teacher, a healer. He was a revelation of God. In other traditions, we might call him an avatar, a God-realized one, a bodhisattva, if you wish. Christian faith calls him the Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God, the Christ, the Word become flesh. We profess that God's truth and love and compassion were somehow powerfully, beautifully distilled into the essence of that man, Jesus, and shown forth in power through his living and through his dying. But death could not hold him. Evil and hate could not defeat love. In resurrection, we proclaim that the essence of God in Jesus burst forth into fullness, no longer bound by space and time. He was no longer tied to that physical body, no longer anchored in first century Palestine, no longer restricted by physical dimensions. In resurrection, he was revealed as the universal Christ, the fullness of God outpouring into all creation. He was one with all that is, the eternal now, the ever-present Spirit, here, available, everywhere, all the time, forever. The story tells us that the risen Christ spent some time, the Gospels differ on how long, showing up to those who knew him and loved him, appearing with enough density that they couldn't just explain it away as a ghost. In those post-resurrection appearances, we see that Jesus Christ wasn't just a spirit, but he was also no longer a normal living body. He was more than that. He could have a body. He could appear in a body as needed, but he wasn't tied down to a body anymore. No more earthly bodily limitations. I love Cynthia Bourgeau's idea that Jesus Christ used those appearances to show his followers that they already knew everything they needed to find him without his body. He was in their hearts. Faith and love could always find him. His spirit was in them. All they had to do was learn how to tune in, to trust his love for them, to trust their love for him, to trust God's love. As Jesus said in his prayer for all of us in John 17, the night before he died, "As you, Father God, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, I in them, you in me, that we may all be completely one." We are called to live in and through that love. God's love revealed to us in Jesus the Christ. He is the universal Christ, the ongoing revelation of God into our hearts and lives, into our world. And he is real and alive for us today as he was to anyone who had known him as that man, Jesus. We today, I know enough to know, love this Christ in our own particular ways. Each of us have our own personal heart connections, our unique ways of tuning in to the presence of Christ. For some of us, Jesus the Christ walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow ways. For some of us, the Jesus of the Gospels is real and personal for our lives. But for others of us, the universal Christ shows up quite differently. We know Christ in the silence of meditation. We know Christ when we create beautiful art or make beautiful music. For many of us, we know Christ in creation, in earth and sky, wind and water, plants and trees, birds and bugs, all sorts of living creatures. And we know Christ in each other, in every human being, and especially, we hope, in and among those of us who seek to be the body of Christ in the world. Christ to each other, Christ in us all, Christ in all that is. So on this Easter, when so much of the world is living in Friday realities, pain and suffering, hate and violence, evil and death, we are called to seek the living Christ, to live into the love and joy and power of resurrection. Christ is alive. The Spirit of Christ is here with us, among us, all around us, holding our whole world in light and love and peace. We have to learn to tune in. We have to keep learning how to be aware, to wake up, not to look for the living among the dead. Christ is alive, here with us, in us. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is alive.